Look, man, this guest we have coming to y'all now, actually needs no introduction. When I say he needs no introduction, I mean that we're talking about like a, it got to be nearly a 20-year career at this point. Longer.
Yeah.
Longer than that, huh?
He said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you count from the time that he first got popping, I remember I was in college. That's how old I am. I was in college when came out and started doing this thing, was the whole deal, and became a cultural phenomenon. And now he continues to keep the internet talking every couple of weeks. Yeah,
yes, you.
Man, that's crazy.
Higher Learning. You guys, we got Bow Wow, Shad Moss
with it.
In the house today. Bro, so first of all, how you doing, brother? How you holding your head during this time, man? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, man. Blessed. Let's just say that I'm blessed. Blessed. Last year was probably one of the, you know, of course we was going through what we was all going through, but personally for me, it was probably like one of the best years I've had in a long time. So only thing I can say is I'm just blessed, man. I cannot complain.
Just curiosity, what made last year so good for you?
I think just the fact that I had time to, you know, sit down and reflect, had time to spend with my daughter. A lot. I think the things that I discovered about myself, I'm sure a lot of other people discovered about themselves too during that time. We just had a lot of time on our hands. You know what I mean? To finally tell somebody like me who's always busy, who's always working and doing this, say, there's nothing to do. Like, there's nothing to do. Mm. Like, that was crazy for me. And I'm like, okay, well, where can I put my time into? I wanted to learn Spanish. I didn't do that. But
I was gonna test them.
I knew you was. So it was things like that mm-hmm. I was getting into. What else did I discover? Like, well, it's a lot of self-reflecting, man. And I had a lot of time to do things that I've always wanted to do, but I couldn't do them. And, you know, thank God, you know, Georgia, we've been open since April of last year. Mm. Florida, the same way. And, you know, I had a chance to, you know, take some trips. Once the things kind of, I wouldn't necessarily say calm down, but once, you know, I was in the house for like 2 months, I'm like, all right, this is it. It's over. I need to get a mask and go outside and live a little bit. So just getting able to do things that I've always wanted to do, but I just couldn't do it because of my schedule. It wouldn't permit it. So spending time with my boys, my kids, my mom, just stuff like that. Just the regular lifey things that money can't buy, really. You know, that's what made last year for me throughout all the nonsense and BS that we had to live through. It made it actually good. Mm.
You also did The Masked Singer, too. That was a new thing. Did you record that last year, or did it just air last year?
We did that last year. Actually, right before the pandemic hit. So it was like right there. And then from Masked Singer, I just remember leaving set going straight to Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville, so we can kick off the Millennium Tour. And, you know, we got to like show number 4, and then that's when the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. I actually thought it was like some bull crap. I ain't even gonna lie. Like, I was on my tour bus and we was watching CNN, and I'm like, all right, this is no different than anything else that we get coming across the news. This is going to be nothing. And then until they called and said, yo, the governor just said, you know, North Carolina, we shutting it down. They can't do the show tonight while we're on our way to North Carolina. Mm. And, you know, we was about to turn around and they said, nope. The governor said they're going to let this be the last concert. And so we turned around and went straight there. But yeah, that was like right neck and neck with each other. So right off of Masked Singer, hopped right into tour. Masked Singer was dope. I'm actually still part of the family. I'm doing we're about to be on season 2 of the podcast I have, you know what I'm saying, with iHeartRadio and Fox and everybody that we're doing the Masked Singer podcast. I'm hosting that. And then now we're back for season 5 of The Masked Singer coming in March. So, we knocking it out.
Now, when we were talking with your people to get this interview, they wanted to make sure that we were going to, that there were going to be some positive things said. You know what I mean? Like, we wanted the interview to be positive, right? And I guess I'm asking this question. First of all, we couldn't promise anything. But do you feel like a lot of the talk around you these days is negative?
Because not negative. Because, you know, I'm not a bad person. I think when people come around me, they see I'm just a fun dude. Like, you know, I get in trouble for fun. You know, for, like, you know, whether it's like, prime example, you know, the Houston situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when they, like, I didn't even really feel no effect from it because I'm like, I'm me. Like, I'm living my life. Not saying, like, forget everybody. I'm living my life. I'm bad. But, no, I'm actually living just like we all are. I'm just living my life. And I'm like, I don't see what happened. Oh, okay. Well, they would put it on me. Like, there was a lot of other celebrities there. I ain't going to say no names. But I'm like, damn, am I that important? Like, y'all put the whole weekend on Bow. And I understand why. Because, you know, a lot of times you're growing up in the business, a lot of things that's attached to me, I brought that on myself so I could live with it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the type of person that I am. But like I said, I don't feel like it's negative. I feel like there's things that I've done, whether it might have been stupid or things that I've said that was off the wall. And it's just, man, if we can put this on Bow, this story going to go further than we put it on so-and-so that was in the club, or this person that was also in the club, now put that back. And I felt like, damn, like, why I get the blame for this? But stuff like that, I just understand what comes with it. You know what I mean? Like, even when I had a yacht in Miami for New Year's, and everybody took me being on, like, the boat that actually comes with the yacht. Because, you know, you're on the yacht, you transport people back.
He had your back. He had your back on that.
Didn't I say that?
Oh, you did, V?
He did.
Didn't I say that?
He did.
Didn't I say that?
He said.
But I'm gonna be real with you. I'm going to be real with you. All that exposed to me was some people that had never been on vacation before. That's all I'm saying. Like, hey, like, because there's a boat that brings you to the other little boat. I said that.
I think it was more like, why are you showing this boat? I think it was more, that's what, yeah, that's
I think
what
you
people
did that
like,
on purpose, Bob. Like, I think you, showed the smaller boat to trigger people to make them talk about it. I think you
did
that on purpose.
Look, I'm telling you, V, if you around me, you'll know. Like, one of my boys is here, he'd be like, he's shaking his head like, nah, we really be living. Like, I don't even really be paying attention to the internet like that. Believe it or not, I don't. Like, my boys would tell me you're trending. I'd be like, I'll probably be playing the video game. I'd be like, okay.
Right.
Like, so I really don't be caring. But people who know me, and this is like, I hate to use the word stupid, but the internet just shows there's a lot of people that don't have sense. Like, I went live on my boat. Like, you get listen, when you charter a 100-footer, that boat comes with that. Right? You can't move 100-footer. I had one of the biggest boats on South Beach. Like, it was crazy. So, for me, I had so much fun on a smaller boat. I said, I want to ride on that. I felt like 007. Like, I was somewhere in Madrid. Like, when I would have my suit on and everything. But for me, it was like, number one, it was a windy day that day. We couldn't take the yacht out. So, the captain said, yo, we can just take the jet skis out and take out the boat. I said, cool, let's do it. Shots going back. We having fun. My manager was the person who filmed it. He was on top of the yacht. That's why you're seeing us, like, the video was shot from up above. He was getting us pulling in, and that's when I was talking to him and his camera. So that's his, he took the video and sent it to me. And I posted when I saw it, I said, this shit look crazy. I'm sorry, I don't know about cuss. But I was like, this look crazy.
You can curse.
Okay, I was like, yo, this look crazy. I said, I'm posting this. I said, yo, we got the girls, we going up. I posted it. And everybody's like, oh, he's on the little boat. I'm like, yo, I was on Instagram Live for 2 days on the boat. I gave y'all a world tour of the yacht on live, and it's on YouTube. I'm like, yo, I don't have time to be arguing with people. People want to have some fun, let them have some fun. So that's how I get down. So, no, I don't think, for me, it's all playful stuff. It's trolling stuff. I think, you know, when you talk about negative, you know, negative is when you just hate. Like, you know, negative is Trump. Negative is, you know what I mean? My stuff is just immature child's play shit that, you know, people look at or they take.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com, Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Can I ask you this? Because I'm from Texas. And I understand what you were saying with the whole situation. I did read, like, later you were like, I jumped on stage for, like, to say one thing and then you went back to your section and you said you put on your mask. But
yeah,
in all seriousness, like being from Texas and knowing what's going down with Texas with the numbers and the hospitalizations, do you take any responsibility though for being a public figure and being out and about and being involved in a concert or a club where so many people are packed and crowded? Because you saw the crowd and it was like people weren't following the COVID protocols, even if you were, and you're affiliated with that. Do you not take any responsibility with that though?
Somebody asked me that. I said, the only thing I'll take responsibility of is not wearing my mask while I was on the microphone. I had my mask on the whole time. And I understand that a lot of people wasn't there. So it's me knowing what was going on and everybody in my section. And, you know, that's the only thing that went viral from that whole night was first of all, it was my homeboy, a close friend of mine's 30th birthday weekend, a successful Black man, a business owner, someone who was, you know, very, very positive and, you know, made it out of New Orleans and is building his city up and has a lot of connections with myself and a lot of other celebrity friends. If you've seen the flyers, you saw the other people that attended the weekend. So I really didn't think nothing of it, honestly. You know, the MC called me. I was at the VIP section was on the stage. So I just walked over. He played Like You. And I did probably my verse is 40 seconds. I did one verse and got off. It's happy birthday. And I walked back. So being me, I'm like, I was on stage for less than a minute. And then I look up, I'm on the news that night. The next morning, the mayor is on me. The mayor tweeting me. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. So if I take any, you know, sense of responsibility, I guess I wonder what they would have done if I had my mask on when I rapped. I wonder if it would have went viral then, or they would have blew it out of proportion then. They might have. I don't think it's no story if I didn't have my mask on, regardless of what the crowd was doing.
But it was the crowd, too. It was the crowd.
Yeah,
the crowd,
yeah. But it wouldn't have been on power. Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't have been. I think that the mask, like I said, there's photos of me in the club with my mask on. So that's why a lot of times when things, you know, hit the media or when it goes public, for me, I'm like, I don't look at it the way sometimes that people will, because I was there. Like, you know what I mean? It's just different. Like, I know what I did. I took my mask off for 1 minute and 1 minute of time, you know, rapping a verse. Just that was the biggest story of the whole weekend. It was crazy. But for me, if anything, it would be me not performing with my mask on. But other than that, I didn't tell people to come. I didn't promote the event. It wasn't my event. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't even slated to even perform. It went from another artist whose party it was to a Bow Wow concert. Like, there was no mention of whose party it was. It was strictly no. Him. Bow Wow. It was a Bow Wow concert. Like, yo, this is
I will
crazy.
Say this. Sometimes you hit people with the back-to-back internet moments. Like, this was coming off the heels of the boat. So what it seemed like to a lot of people was the boat kind of like put some heat behind you. And you was like, yo, I'm going to take this boat heat and go have a show down in Houston. That's what it seemed
that's
like.
Crazy.
That's what it seemed like. So let's talk about this. Like, there's other things, right? There's a lot of stuff that happens. Do you know when you're playing with people? Because you got to know when you make the Keisha Cole
comment.
My boy comment.
Is right here. He'll tell
yes,
you
about. Yes, the Keisha Cole
you got to know when you make the Keisha Cole comment. That
oh, yeah. When I did that, like, that came from the heart. Like, I'm like, damn, how long? I didn't even watch it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't even watch the verse. Shout out to Ashanti, though. You know what I'm saying? That's our touring sister right there. She's on the Millennium Tour with us. Mm-hmm. But I didn't even watch it. And, you know, I just happened to just look at Twitter and they was just trending. And everybody was like, yo, it's taking her so long. And I'm like, damn, are they going to do it? Then I saw Swiss post something like, yo, this is unprofessional.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, like, damn, like, I ain't never heard of her being late like this. When I would call, we would kick it, pull up. You know what I'm saying? But people would take it.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a second. Hold on for a second. You know, you said, yo, when I call over to the crib, she was never like, wow, you know.
You're insinuating so many things.
Yeah.
I understand, but listen, if my boy said right here, he'll be like, yo, Bow doesn't, he don't plan none of it. Like, I wish I had y'all in Miami with me. Because then y'all would see, like, from my point of view, how it was. Like, one little thing, Bow don't, like, I'm not thinking. I got girls, and I'm pulling up to this 100-footer that I got. Like, I rented this for 4 days. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling myself.
Do you feel like you was
thinking about nothing?
Do you feel like by saying that you was putting Keisha out there a little bit?
No, because it was what's public information is public. You know what I mean? Everybody, now I don't know if everybody know, but there's been a story that broke or two about us. You know what I'm saying? So it's been out there. I've been asked about it. So, you know. Nah, if it wasn't out there, then I'd be like, all right, nah, but I probably wouldn't have said that.
Okay, I'm going to piggyback on that then, because you say that you don't do it on purpose, but then on Growing Up Hip Hop, you were talking to your mom and you were saying how you were going to do this 9-track project and it was a letter to your exes and you were going to name all these women that you had been with. People, we don't know. That's not public information. I know you are, Van. That's not public information. We don't know who these women are. I mean, that's something that's purposeful. And it's kind of like a little bit of kiss and tell, right? Like, are you going to warn them about it? Are you going to get their permission to talk?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I'll take the L on that, because I should have explained it better.
Okay.
I didn't explain really the concept of the album clear enough. This is, and I'm no longer, well, the album's been done, but I'm more focused now on my album, which will be my last one, Before 30. That's what it's called, Before 30. And basically, I wanted to do a specialty album coming off the tour in March, right before the pandemic hit. I was, you know, inspired, because here we are again. I'm like, I ain't even put out a single in probably like 7 years. And me and Omarion are still putting 19,500 women in this every night. This is crazy. So I got inspired to do something. So when the pandemic hit, I got with my producer. I got with him. I said, yo, dog, I want to do a 10-song album. And I want to do it like, my biggest hits have always been the stuff for the ladies, my relationship stuff, the heartbreak records. I need to do a whole album of that. Mm. And anytime I go into the studio and I write, I draw inspiration from my real life. So what I should have said, and I should have been clearer with my explanation, is the album is it was going to be a 10-song album, all of the girl type records that I'm known for. But I was drawing inspiration from situations that I was in that would enable me, that would, you know, give me the ability to actually write these records, these heartfelt records. And each song was drawing a piece from a relationship, from someone.
Mm-hmm.
But also at the same time, I knew that if I did this type of album, the media would go crazy until they heard it. It was a catch to it. The whole catch was, I put the blame on me, my faults, my wrongdoing. Me growing up now, about to be 34, damn, I wish I could go back and fix that. I broke your heart. I did that. I shouldn't. It wasn't no, I had her bent over on the tour bus and y'all don't even know it. Like, nah, it was nothing like that. It was real records. Like, you know, it could have been a song in there about my baby moms. You know how I felt. You know, I look now, my daughter's 10 and you alone, I'm alone. And we should have, or I wish we could have went back. That was my mess up. That was my fault. I shouldn't have hurt you. I understand why you did what you did or why you moved on. I get it. I would have done the same thing too. I was really bigging, you know, the women up, but it was never going to be no names. I shouldn't have said that, but it was really that. I was just drawing to be able to write out of my system, and the life use. Those records were records I was drawn from real life people who I dealt with. You know what I mean? So it was just drawing inspiration. So that's what I was trying to get across. Not that this song going to be Angela Simmons, this song going to be, you know, this girl and that. Nah, I should have worded it like that. That I was just drawing inspiration from situations that meant something to me.
Let's stay on hip hop for a second. Some years back, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Vince Staples. That his inspirations or his influences when he was coming up and doing his thing was guys like you, guys like Bow Wow. And I remember people went nuts when he said that. Right? They were like, Bow Wow, Bow Wow. What you mean you influenced by Bow Wow? I guess my question to you is,
yeah.
Do you feel like, forget about any of the reality TV show stuff, forget about any of the internet stuff, just music, just music. Do you feel like you get the appropriate respect for what you've done musically?
Yes.
You do?
Now, yeah. It happened last year.
Last year was the first year. Why? What changed last year?
I just think as you get older, I think, you know, people start to give it up. Like, they give it up to you. What happened last? I think something happened and I started trending on Twitter. I don't know if it was the Versus thing that started it or what happened, but it just turned into a whole this is what happened. Clubhouse. I jumped on Clubhouse. One of my boys said, you need to jump on Clubhouse. We're doing an appreciation party. Clubhouse.
Yep, yep.
And I said, what? I never even heard of this Clubhouse. I don't even know what this is. And believe it or not, I get nervous. I don't like to talk, believe it or not. Like, on the phone, I hate it. I hate it. It just makes no sense. I hate talking on the phone, right?
Okay.
I can't stand it. So I get on Clubhouse, and all of these people in there, and they're giving me all my roses and little yacht. Like, all these rappers are coming in the room, like, yo, Bal, like, I don't think you understand, bro. Like, I'm like, this shit is crazy. I'm like, y'all got to forgive me. I'm kind of weirded out because I don't really get the love like that. So this is just weird. Then it went on to Twitter for me, trending number one, and everybody was like, yo, we might troll him, but we can do that because he ours. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, You mean that much to us. Like, through all the BS that you do, you still goaded. You were like Mike, the stuff that you gave us, bro, you gave us so much for our culture that you mean something to us. You know what I mean? So it's like, I'm like, damn. And when that happened, I said, damn, okay. I now gotta walk that line if I wanna honor these words and what people are now giving me, this title of being a young goat. Like, I appreciate it. You know what I mean? And, you know, from then something else happened. And people just started just giving the love. I always tell people, when you put the work in, it's there. The numbers is there. The hit records is there. All that's there. You can never take that away from somebody. And I just think that people under, you know what I mean? I think people finally like, yo, okay, got to give it to them. And I think a lot of times I get some slack too, because I told my mom the other day, even with the boat thing, she said, why'd you post the boat? I said, because I was feeling fly. I felt like Tony Montana. That's how I felt. You can't tell me nothing. I did it because I wanted to just like, yeah, but I don't think, you know, people are going to talk about you. At the end of the day, I always going to have something to say. And I'm like, yo, at the end of the day, mom, I don't care. The work is there. Like, I don't care. I'm having fun. And everybody who talking shit will be right there with me on that little boat, on the big boat, on whatever boat, the canoe, they'll be right there. So, you know, I'm just trained that my mind is just different. It is. I my whole process is different.
So you say you feel like you got started getting the respect that you deserved last year. But before that, it's like 20 years before that you felt like you weren't getting that. Did you feel you had pressure to constantly prove yourself to people up until that point? Like, in whatever you did or even, no?
No, I just keep working. Mm-hmm. I literally just keep working. Like, I wish all my boys were right here right now. I swear to God, they'd be like, yo, Bal don't see none of that. He don't feel nothing. Like, they know it. Like, I live in my own world. You know what I mean? I'm just always in my own world. Like, I would never walk around and feel like I feel like I'm only in competition with myself. To be honest with you, nobody has done what I've done, you know, to come in the game at 12 years old, go triple platinum, and you trying to tell me 21 years from now, I'm going to still be here, my movies are still getting shown, I'm still touring. Like, I made it. Like, I've done it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've done it. So there's no pressure on me. Like, I've always just coasted. I just said, listen, just do what you do. You know what I mean? That's all I can do. All I can do is go to work, wake up, go to work. That's it. So that's always been my mentality. Wake up, go to work. I ain't hearing that. Oh, what they said today? That's what they said for real? All right. Y'all want to go to Vegas or what? We going to Vegas? Like, that's how I really be. I swear to God, my boy, like, that's bad. Like, I look at the internet and all this, like, it's the Matrix. Like, it's a whole nother make-believe world. I don't really get too tangled up in it. And believe it or not, I know she's smiling because she's like, stuff you be doing. It be
they think,
like,
you know what she's thinking not. About? She's thinking about the plane thing and she's thinking about the boat thing.
You
she's
ain't in my
about,
mind. You don't know what I'm thinking. No, I'm not.
Excuse me. I'm mansplaining for Rachel. She's thinking about all those things. And what people would say is, because really that was the thing. The reason why I asked if you felt appreciated or respected, because for a rapper to be around longer than 3, 4, 5 years,
It's tough. It
really, really don't happen like that.
It don't, bro.
Look, on the outside looking in, especially when I was at that other shop and those stories would happen, I would be like, I wonder if Bow Wow even appreciates himself. Because, like, but a lot of people would look at it and be like, Bow Wow was always stunting for the gram or showing off or saying stuff or acting like, why do you feel like people have that perception?
I think I told my mom this last week. I said, Mom, my mom was like, yo, it's crazy. I be wanting to curse people out for you. And I'm like, man, listen, you have to understand something. I'm like a unicorn, man. So, man, how often you see a unicorn? Never. Never. I've never seen one. I said, man, you name me a child star with millions of dollars, that young, that coasted through the industry, no drugs, not strung out, didn't deteriorate as far as looks and all of that crap, looking teeth rotten, falling out. Like, you name me one other than me. You know what I'm saying? Michael did it for sure. The king, the greatest. No one else done it. Me.
Just like, you and Michael
Bieber,
Jackson.
Bieber, that's my little bro. I love Justin. But even Justin started at a later age than I did. And Justin put out maybe what, 3-4 albums, did 2 big arena tours, world tours, and I'm out of this. I'm cool on this. I kept going. I never stopped. I never, you know, and I credit a lot of that to my mom and like really JD for keeping me in Atlanta and not so early and getting turfed out and all of that. So I think a lot of it is just, I look at it from that perspective, like, yo, I'm just something they ain't seen before. I was supposed to been fall off, mom. I wasn't supposed to be here. I just left London a year and a half ago filming Fast 9. I'm with John Cena and Vin Diesel and, you know, all of us together. Like, this is crazy. This ain't supposed to happen, but it is, though, because God chose his path for me. So that's how I look at it. I look at it like I wasn't supposed to. Most child stars don't care, so this is different. It is. So I understand where the hate come from sometimes or, you know, why people be. I get it. And also, you got people who feel like this is my vision on where Bow Wow's supposed to be like that. Like, we do this to put the fire on your ass so you can, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, so that's why I said early on when we was talking, I'm like, nah, it's not, I don't really feel like it's a hatred or nothing. Like, the hatred is different. You know what I mean? I you know, it's more fun. It's, we can just do it because he's ours. Like, if Bob do something else, like, you know what I mean? If he buys a Ferrari tomorrow and he's driving it, we just gonna say it's
right.
But we know this motherfucker. Right. We know he's gonna pass. We know he's gonna
right.
But we know what to say.
But I mean, to be honest with you, that's how it is. I haven't actually even saw a video with you and some rappers and they were talking to you about something like, but it's all love. Like, that's kind of how it feels. So, Rachel, do you have anything else? Because I want to switch gears real quick.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
So I want you to settle something right now. And this is a little controversy, but it's the best kind of controversy to me.
All right.
So around the time that the Face Off album came out.
Yeah.
Okay. You and Omarion, Face Off. Hey, baby, say you wanna. You guys know.
Yeah.
You guys
leave
know
us
this
a bow.
All right. So this is what I'm saying. I contended then, and still contend now, and have said this on the internet, and have said this to Rachel. Nobody agrees. That at that point, Omarion was a little bit ahead of Chris Brown in terms of dancing.
Mm.
We talking 09.
I know we going.
We talking like 09, 10. We're not like, you know, Omarion has had a fantastic career. Him and Chris Brown, this is not no smoke. This is just a friendly cultural argument. Obviously,
I know where you're going with this.
Obviously, Chris Brown went to places dance-wise because he kept going and stuff. I'm not to say Omarion didn't keep going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But at that moment, the king of dance with the hat trick and all of the touch video and stuff like that. Who do you think was the better dancer?
All right, I'm going to be totally honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I always see, I seen it up close. You know
you're
what I'm saying?
Settling so, it right now. Bow Wow, you're settling this debate.
Two different. All right, so look. When it comes to Brown and Omarion, the one thing that I've seen is that they're different. I'm going to tell you why their dance styles is different. Oh, and you got to look at the height too, right?
Yeah,
so
I'm not sure.
When you shorter, the moves look more dip. They look crazier because the things that O can do with his body, and he's shorter.
Mm-hmm.
With
mm-hmm.
Brown, he's longer, he's taller, so he's able to do a lot of things too. That they both have their own style. It's crazy. I remember being in LA watching them in my room. I'll never forget this. I'm chilling. They over there in the corner dance, both of them. Just, I can't. And Chris was sitting right here like this. That's no cap. We was at the Regent Beverly Wilshire right after the BET Awards. Me and Chris lost. We lost the Viewer's Choice Award that year. And we went back to the hotel. It was me, Chris, O, and them boys was in the corner. Like, nah, but so you gotta, nah, look, when I do it, it's like all one motion. You got it. They just forever. This is what they was like.
I believe this.
I believe it too.
Omarion is more of a, he embodies dance. Like, you'll see, oh, like, even on tour, I'm like, oh, you ain't really TikTok. Like, he said, nah, like, he moves with the, like, he be listening to, like, he into some different, that's, oh, oh, it's like,
right.
Yeah, oh, it's, that's the unbothered king. Oh, if it's dance, he wants to go back to 1800 BC and read up on dance and discover, you know, why we move like that. Brown is just, turn the music on, I'm about to get, you know what I'm saying? Like, Brown is, it's too different. It's different when you see it up close. They are two different type of dancers. But I will say this. For early on, before Chris came out, I said, man, Omarion might be one of the best dancers I ever seen in my life. This boy is, boy, you can tell they had, oh, and dance schools and dance. Like, that boy was on it. Brown, yeah. You know, Brown, like I said, I just feel like Brown is just a natural with it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Just, he can just do it. It's nothing. But so, they're both tremendous performers, man. They both captivated that time, man. And I don't think, I'm going to be real with you, I ain't seen nobody who can dance like Omarion and Chris Brown within in the past 15 years. I haven't seen
it. Usher?
So they're your top two. They're your top two.
Usher is, bro. I was just with Usher 2 days ago. I feel like Usher is more known for his records. That's my, I feel like Big Bro is more known for the records. You know, his records are so powerful and so iconic. I feel like Usher is known more for the records than he is his dancing. But Usher's a hell of an entertainer and performer.
Usher, a cold-ass dancer, Bob.
Oh, absolutely. But when I you say like I'm at a Chris Brown concert, you know, I want to see that boy dance. Like, you don't really hear that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you see Chris Brown dance. Electrifying. He going to line up. He going to backflip, front flip. It's just going to be electric. With Usher, you know, he's more smoother.
If I go to an Usher concert, he better be dancing. That's what I came for.
But if I go see Big Bro, I'm like, I want to hear records.
Yeah, you got know what I'm saying?
I want to burn. You can't really get off. Burn is a slower ballad record. It's going to be hard to. He got that grown, mature stuff. Whereas Brown, you know, oh, I'm about to be electrified. It's going down. So I would say, on God, man, Omarion and that boy Chris Brown, hands down, the best two dancers I've seen in within the past 15 years of my life. Mm. I ain't seen nothing like no one. Usher gets off, he do his thing, but them two boys, never seen that like.
All right, last question I'm going to ask you. You've had so much success, long, long career, much respect for that. I'm sure you've learned a lot along the way. If you could go back and give young Bao some advice, what would it be? What's the one thing you would give him?
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions, all apply. See website for details.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier, thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
I wish I would have invested then, growing up, maybe like around 2020 and 2021. I would have got into it early. It's so a lot of things that I'm you know, that I'm doing now. I mean, I'm still young, but I'm getting into it now. But I wish, like, dang, why didn't I start that when I was 19? Like, good God, like, why didn't I get into that? Like, and not passing up opportunities. I pass up a lot of big money plays that I wish that I could have went back and, like, just took the time to hear him out, or took that time to hear this person speak to me, instead of like, nah, I'm cool, whatever. You got to prove it to me and then come back around and let's have a meeting. Like, there's a lot of things that I passed up when I look at it now, like, oh my God, what was I doing? So that's one thing that I would say to the young about is like, yo, that would be it. Like, those things right there would be it. Things that I know now, that's what I would say. Like, now I live that. Somebody stops me for 5 minutes, let me hear what you're talking about. This might be a multi-million-dollar idea. This might be the next thing that could change the world. Whatever it is, I just wish that, I wish I invested in Core Water when they asked me. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah, right. A lot of those. So people come at you like, hey, bro, I got a little water company. You go, hey, it's not the right time. And the next thing you know, nigga, they made $15 billion. You're out there looking crazy. So this is my last question. So listen, we have a segment on the show called Bow Wow Watch, where we talk about all of your exploits, right?
Yeah.
The things that you do, the boat and things like that. It's very fun. During the last Bow Wow Watch session that we had, what we did was we talked about the concert that you gave, and then we talked about artists who we would like to see, whether or not there's an artist. I went down and randomly picked the artist, and we went, would we rather see that artist in concert or Bow Wow? We did that.
Okay.
We came upon Paul McCartney. Rachel said that she would rather see Paul McCartney in concert than Bow Wow. I couldn't fathom that. There's no fucking way.
Paul's an icon, though.
He's a legend. That's what I said.
I can see Bow Wow whenever. Bow's so active. I don't know when I'm going to see Paul.
I can't sing his songs, but guys, I would go to just say I went.
You guys.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck about that. That's not why I'm going to a concert, to say that I did it, because I can watch that. I don't give a fuck about that. I understand it. So I'm gonna ask you this. Not for us. I'm old. I'm 40 years old. Let's say for people under 35 in the culture.
Okay.
If you did a versus with Paul McCartney, 20 records, under 35 and black, under 35 and black. You and Paul McCartney, 20 records. Don't you think that they fucking with your 20 records more than they fuck?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Absolutely.
They are.
Absolutely.
I don't.
Absolutely.
Of course they are.
Oh, they are.
Absolutely.
So right. Absolutely. So why are you? So
you
don't
asked
be like,
the
of course
question to me.
You're under 35.
I am 35. You asked the question to me, but it's a generational thing, right?
Love
it's Paul generational.
McCartney. I love Paul McCartney.
I'm
gonna have more fun at your concert, though, Bow.
Yeah, almost definitely.
And I said that.
Let me tell you something.
But I would be wearing my mask. I'd be wearing my mask at the concert.
Chris Brown coming out at Bow concert. Like
Snoop
Lamar
coming
Lamar,
out.
Snoop coming out. We gonna jam. JD, we gonna get Monica.
It's gonna get crazy.
It's gonna be a cultural celebration. Y'all
absolutely.
Just like, I'm gonna be honest with you. Y'all like the white people. That's what y'all like. I'm going to be real with you. All right, look.
I want to ask you this question. I meant to ask you this before. Yeah, it's no secret that you love the women. I come from the Bachelor franchise.
Absolutely.
Would you ever, if given the opportunity, be the Bachelor? You got 30 some women that you get to choose from.
I'll probably do it. It's 2021. I probably would do it. Me in a house full of how many women?
Yo.
30 plus.
That's the play.
They never had a celebrity be the Bachelor before, huh?
It's been a long time. They need to
come
Jesse Palmer's the closest, I think. Yeah, no, nah,
not
serious.
Nobody actually famous. Let's be real.
Nobody famous.
I'll break that mold. I'll be the first famous Bachelor. I'll do it. Especially if I can pick the girls.
You can't pick the girls.
Well, you would give them. You would tell them your type. This is what I like, and then they go get them.
Oh, okay.
But you wouldn't be disappointed. Yeah. Can you imagine? Oh my God!
Bow Wow gonna have every girl on IG with a link tree in her bio.
Or an OnlyFans.
Right.
Man, you know how big that'll be? Like, that's one of them Bow Wow splashes. Imagine, what's on ABC? What network?
ABC.
ABC. Prime time.
Could you imagine that shit if I was the Bachelor? Man, it'd be crazy. That's like, it'd be stuff like that where that'll break the internet. And they're like, man, Bow Wow, dude, it's like, nah, I'm paying me to be in a house with 20 men. What? I'm there.
Like, I'm so glad you got that in, right? I'm so glad.
Now, why did you become the best after this interview? They're going to reach out. Like,
they should.
I'm promoting it.
Right.
Let's go. I'll put you in the deal.
We wish you continued success.
Yes.
Look, man, ease up, Bob. Give us 2 months. No trending on Twitter for a while.
B, I'm telling them to stop paying attention to me. That's how I be feeling. I'm like, yo, I'm just living. How is little old me so important enough? Like, people really just, like, tell them to stop looking for me. I don't look for nobody. I'm just out here living. I'm just living a good life. I'm doing some magnificent shit. I can wake up and do what I want. And I, you know, people just, it's content. People, let me take it. And, you know, I'm just living. That's all I'm doing.
I bet you Keisha Cole called you and got all in your ass on the phone. I bet she was pissed off.
She definitely didn't. But, you know, there's been time, like in the past, like my boy, like one of my partners and her, they still cool. And like, you know, she'll send a little message to him like, yo, tell Bow to come on, what is he doing? Like, what is he doing? Tell him to stop. Why are you messing with me? Like, but it's all love. I got a lot of love for Keisha, man. She's a sweet person. Like, you know what I mean? Like, regardless of what people think, she's very sweet, talented, and very caring too. A very caring person. So I would never have anything bad to say about Keisha at all.
What you going to look out for coming up? I know you said you the album coming. You say it's going to be your last album.
Yeah, that's
Fast
it.
Fast 9 is coming out at some point in the future.
Yeah, that's the last one, man. Before 30. That's the title, Before 30. It's going to be crazy. Like I said, it's the last one. So, you know, I'm going to go out with a bang. Of course, I'm going to get y'all some shit to talk about. You know what I mean? But it's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. That got Fast and Furious 9. Get ready to come out here in the spring. Mm-hmm. Finally. Been dying for this movie to come out. But, you know, COVID messed things up.
Of course.
The Millennium Tour, we're still going out right now. We slated for spring. We're going to do it differently. I think we're going to hit the cities that are allowing us to do it at like 50% capacity. That's what they're saying, 50, 70%.
Y'all ain't coming to L.A.
And L.A. will probably be for the summer leg. So we're going to cut it in half. We're going to get it going in spring, take a break, and re-up and do everywhere else come summertime. So those three things, it's so much. I could be here all day talking about all the stuff that I got going on.
I got you.
I'm gonna just leave it there. I'm gonna just leave it there.
You have to come back when you're about to drop it all, bro.
Love absolutely, that. Absolutely, yeah.
Guys, Higher Learning audience, that is cultural treasure. Bow Wow. We will continue to watch him, and we continue to talk about him. He's gonna continue to give us shit to talk about. Appreciate you, bro.
Yeah. As long as y'all keep watching, it's gonna be there.
All right, man.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday. I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.